Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Evan Stewart might be done for the year at Oregon.
Sounds like he is done for the year.
And I was looking at the odds today. There are currently 8 teams that are favored to make the playoff. So you could get plus money on them to miss the playoff. And those 8 are Ohio State, Texas, Penn State, Oregon, Georgia, Bama, Notre Dame, Clemson. Obviously, all 8 of those teams are not going to make it. Probably multiple won't make it. I'm kind of starting to think Oregon, I might have more questions than answers. We know they'll have tons of talent, obviously, but they've got question marks at the quarterback position.
Mm-hmm.
Is it just, you look at their schedule, they've got to go on the road to Penn State in a whiteout. I think this Oregon team, they got to play Indiana, they got to play... they don't have Ohio State or Michigan, but I don't know. I'm curious your thoughts on Oregon right now.
Yeah, I think the opportunity is still there to go like 10-2, but
sure.
I think
you probably
you're
make
right.
it at 10-2.
They feel like they feel less like a slam dunk to me than some of those other teams that you rattled off, and I don't know that they're being treated that way because they were the number one seed last year, right? And you know, we all know that there's a little bit of rear view mirror looking when some of these preseason prognostications come out. But no, I think that's a fair reality of it for Oregon with the quarterback transition, with the Evan Stewart situation. I don't think it's a slam dunk for Oregon in the playoff. In fact, if I were saying the likeliest Big Ten teams to make the playoff, I would have Oregon no higher than third on the list. I mean, Ohio State probably looks like the most slam dunk of the Big Ten team to make the playoffs. But also, I mean, Penn State, boy, they return so much. I would be pretty surprised if the playoffs not including Penn State. So, yeah, in terms of Big Ten pecking order, I wouldn't have Oregon at the top, and I wouldn't have him in the number two spot either.
It's like, I get it. I don't know if he's going to be like I would suspect he's not going to start meaningful NFL games. But Dillon Gabriel won a lot of games in college football. Like, yeah. And Dante Moore is like looks the part, but like, man, I just don't know. Like, he's probably immensely talented, but I mean, how many times do we see immensely talented guys that you just go, meh?
Like, is the Penn State game on the road?
Yes, it's the Happy Valley
whiteout.
It's yeah, they, game. It's yeah. like it's going to be. I think you can probably watch it on the cock.
No, yeah. it's big NBC
streaming also a lot. The one that I'm kind of struggling with: are we really going to do Georgia and Gunnar Stockton?
I don't know that I'm going to do Gunnar Stockton, and that's why I would not have Georgia. If we're doing the same exercise for the SEC, who's most likely to make the playoff from the SEC on down the line, I would not have Georgia in the pole position because I have questions about the game's most important position. I think they're going to be fine everywhere else on the field. I don't think they're as loaded as they were, you know, in the back-to-back championship seasons. But, yeah, they're going to have talent at other places. But yeah, the sample size from Gunnar Stockton, it doesn't have me ready to write Georgia into the playoff in ink. The one thing about Georgia, though, like, their non-conference schedule is a joke this year. You know, they played Clemson last year. That's not there. So the non-conference is a joke. But then you look at the conference schedule, they have Texas, they have Alabama, Florida, you know, was getting better at the end of last season.
They moved that to Atlanta, though.
Yeah, true. I mean, they have Tennessee. So, Ole Miss. I mean, I still think Ole Miss is a top 25 team. So you got like five games against our top 25 teams, and you need to win at least three of them. I think it's more likely than not that Georgia does, but no, they don't feel as slam dunky to me as maybe Texas does, although maybe my opinion on Texas changes if they get skunked in Columbus in week one. I mean, that's the difference, right? Is Georgia's, and unless they get stunned by Georgia Tech, which they almost did last year, but Georgia doesn't have that Ohio State equivalent on their schedule like Texas does. But I would probably still start the list with Texas. And I actually think maybe I'm just like falling into the trap of like, I'm not fading Brian Kelly at LSU fast enough because I'm not fading him. And maybe I'll look back and say, yeah, I was slow to the party on that, but I think LSU could be the best team in the SEC. And nobody seems like they're talking about them to the extent that, you know, Texas is in the headlines and even Georgia and Alabama, like, other than the fact that it's fun for people on Twitter to make fun of Brian Kelly and make gifs of him getting mad on the sidelines, like what reason is there to not like LSU? Are we just thinking like, well, they've been so bad on defense the last few years that just because they got a bunch of transfers doesn't mean they're going to be better? Okay, that maybe is one idea. But beyond that,
I'll tell you what it is for me.
What's that?
I don't have the Garrett Nussmeier gene.
Mm.
He can, yeah. Listen, he has a phenomenal arm. I'm not denying that. But man, it's the same experience I used to get insane when Carson Wentz for the Eagles, like, this is the MVP of the league. And I used to go insane. It's like, you only watch red zone. Because if you watched him throughout the course of a game, like, he's not all there. But he has some of these plays where you're like, oh my God. And Nussmeier has some throws where you're like, oh my God. And he's had some nifty scrambles. But it's like, when you watch the entire body of work, I'm just left very apathetic.
I think that's fair, but like when we're looking at other top teams,
that's the problem.
I'd rather have Nussmeier than I would Gunnar Stockton. Arch Manning, sure, maybe I'd take Arch, but I've seen a lot more of Nussmeier. Nussmeier's got to cut down on some of the interceptions. I don't know if he can. That is the knock.
He does a lot of the there. Listen, and it's so hard because how much of it is like RPO and whatnot, but like, there are so many times that I'm watching the game and I can tell right where he's throwing immediately. And if I can tell, don't you think the people that their entire livelihood is knowing what's coming next, they can tell?
Yeah, I that's a good point. I do think, though, LSU's wide receivers this year are, I think they're loaded.
You know, surprise. It's to me, it's like Wisconsin line when everyone's like, oh, they lost a bunch of receivers. Like, yeah, I trust that LSU's going to have receivers.
Yeah, but they weren't this good last year, I don't think. 2 years ago when Jaden Daniels won the Heisman, they were. I'm not saying they're at that level, but they bring back Aaron Anderson, the top wide receiver from last year. They brought in the transfer from Kentucky. Was it Barron Brown, right, who was Kentucky's best receiver.
I watched him play high school football, and you want to talk about something that was very unfair.
And he can do a lot of things, too. Return
very fast.
Catch passes. Do all kinds of stuff. Nick Anderson from Oklahoma, who was hurt most last season, but 2 years ago. So, I mean, I really like LSU's wide receiver core. I think it's a fair point about Nussmeier. I still think I would rather have him than some of the quarterbacks on the other, big name teams. I mean, I don't even know who the starting quarterback is going to be at Alabama, but whoever it is, I'd rather have Nussmeier. So I think that's part of it with LSU is, I think they got a top five quarterback. Maybe, you know, whether he's one or five might depend on your perspective, but I think they got a top five quarterback in the conference. I like the talent that they brought in around him, and maybe it doesn't mesh on defense. Maybe Brian Kelly just is never going to get this LSU defense figured out, but they brought in some serious dudes on defense, whereas like past off seasons, they were bringing in transfers, but they were like three-star guys from some MAC school or something, or some guy that was a backup, you know, rotting on the bench at an SEC school. Like, no, they brought in some A-list dudes this year in the portal and to help that defense.
All right, Blake, have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys.
That is Blake Topmeyer, senior national columnist for the USA Today Sports Network. We come back. Let's get into the list. Let's get back into the NBA Finals. We gotta at least get a logo or something on the floor. We'll discuss that and more when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Each and every day here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, we do a little thing called the list. Let's fire it up. The NBA Finals. Okay, Tim, I don't remember noticing this last year, but like, I know it's been a while since we've gotten rid of the Larry O'Brien trophy at center court, but I do not remember not having like at least some type of signage on the floor that indicates this is the finals. And my first thought was, is this just so they can keep the floor clean so that they can superimpose ad graphics on the floor? Right?
Because I don't know. Well, can I ask? Well, my rebuttal to that, I don't know the answer. But my question to that would be, have you noticed in hockey, by the way, random tangent, if I'm an advertiser, I'm never buying the boards again because all of them are superimposed out. So if they're able to do it in hockey, which is wipe the boards and put their own ads on there, why couldn't they do that in the NBA?
I mean, they... Are you talking about like around the floor? Because they've been doing it in, they definitely do it like on the floor where you, like definitely like the local broadcasts you've been seeing, like it, with the Grizzlies, there's a FedEx superimposed graphic, like, you know, in the, like inside the 3-point line, kind of like around like where a corner three would be.
Right. So, yeah, I don't know. It is weird. It's funny. I think you and I are of the same mindset that we want to go back to home courts being utilized in the NCAA tournament so it looks a little different, right? Where it used to get, like, if you were playing a regional in Boise at Boise State, it was their court, and it would just, like, be slapped with the NCAA logo, and now they're all uniform.
I don't actually hate.
You like the uniformity?
I don't hate. I think they've actually done a pretty good job of making the floors look pretty good. I would be with you in the sense of if it were like women's college basketball when they host, like I'm cool with it then, because that's another thing that drives me insane. When you're watching the baseball regionals and the home team is like the team that's hosting is a visiting team, that always just drives me insane.
Yeah, that is a little wacky.
Like, you know, like, hey, they earned the right to host. Like let them bat last.
Peep that score today. Good God almighty. North Carolina, baby.
ACC. ACC.
I'll tell you what, though. There would be nothing worse than winning 18-2.
And then losing.
And then, like, if you lost, like, if you lost the next two by one run each. And then, like, you're like, we won the aggregate.
Yeah, can we get the aggregate going? Yes, 18-2 final score earlier today down in Chapel Hill.
And I believe right now we have Miami currently leading over Louisville 2-0. I'm sorry, Louisville leads Miami 2-0. That is a conference game. It's like I have to, like, do the math where it's like, okay, yeah, they both still are in the ACC. I don't like, to me, though, it's like.
I'll just real quickly. I know we've talked about this before. Your neck of the woods, very into college baseball. So I'm not breaking any news here because I'm sure there's a plethora of Tennessee fans listening. Get your popcorn ready for Tennessee, Arkansas, because that is going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously Vitelli worked for Arkansas for a while. Yeah, I mean, I think Tennessee is...
From an odds standpoint, those... So, I was looking at the odds yesterday.
It's the closest, right?
So, no. Oregon State and Florida State.
Okay, yeah, because that's an 8-9, too, yeah.
But Tennessee, Arkansas, which is very close in the odds, to your point, if you look at the board, the futures board, The four shortest teams out there are Arkansas, LSU, Tennessee, and UNC, and three of them are on the same side of the bracket. That's why I bet I bet UNC to win the title just based off of their draw. It was like plus 675 at Circa yesterday. I'm like, I don't really know a ton about college baseball, but I know that the four best teams and three of them are on the same side of the bracket.
Well, and on top of that, like, Tennessee is the team that elicits the most emotion from everyone else. They, you know, they're very brash.
Is that the one with the Wake Forest coach?
Yep.
Yeah, nothing like dropping that and then letting the dude hit an absolute mammo off you next pitch.
Yeah, that's George's favorite baseball player. He was at Ole Miss last year. Andrew
Bum.
Fisher.
Bum.
How about the girl for Texas Tech? You guys been peeping
the... Oh, my God. Phenomenal. She's awesome.
She's so, got another $1 million NIL deal for next
she
year.
She absolutely shoves. I mean...
She's ridiculous.
I don't...
What's her name? Najari
Kennedy.
It looks like Kennedy.
Yeah.
It looks like Candy. So, she is... I am 1,000,000% watching that game tonight.
So, that was also an all-time you-can-feel-the-pressure moment because they take the big lead going into the seventh, and you're like, all right, that's a wrap. But Texas kept the pressure on, and you can tell, like, even with their playing softball, like, Texas Tech just has so much hatred for Texas that, like, you can feel them seeing red. They had Mahomes and Brittany got her new toys out there in the public. I think this is the first she's had the Instagram reveal of the new cannons, but this felt like the first public reveal. But like when that girl hit the double and it was a one-run game, like you could feel Texas Tech going like, oh no, oh no.
Yep.
But they held on. Yeah.
Genuine question. Like, do they just not have a bullpen like at all?
Well, your arm is allowed to go under, right? So it doesn't tax your arm. Like that's why baseball, your arm is not supposed to go forward, right?
No.
So that's why you can't pitch every day. I was surprised. Look, I texted my buddy. My buddy's doing the game on radio, and I don't know if he got me an answer yet. But I was like, doesn't Texas have like a girl who hasn't given up a run the entire like College World Series? Why was she not pitching last night?
So that's the other thing. It's like, I understand it's the natural motion, and so it doesn't put the strain on your arm that throwing overhand does. But it's not like when you pitch, the only thing that hurts is your arm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, whenever I'd pitch, like, afterwards, like, your legs hurt, your back hurts. Like,
oh, sure.
I'm surprised. Like, and it's one of those things where it's like, I know softball pitchers just do this. Like, you have your pitcher, but I guess the simplest answer, George, would be, what would you rather take your chances on? Her tired or whatever you have else?
I'm taking her time. I mean, shoot, even after last game where, oh no, she gave up two earned.
I was thinking about
this. She still has a sub one.
And I don't know this. Did she graduate from Stanford?
No, she left early.
Okay.
She was just a freshman.
This has to be the first... Right, this has to be the first person in the history of the society that willingly left Stanford to go to Texas Tech. And I'm not like pointing fingers at Texas Tech, but like that has to be the case, right?
I'm sure
there's some people from Lubbock that got into Stanford and partied too hard and they got asked to leave. But has anyone willingly said, I'm out of here?
I think a $1-point-some-odd-million-dollar check helped.
No,
that
I mean
decision.
I
yeah.
get it. Like it was a business decision, and I do not falter. But that was the other thing I was thinking about, because the game before when Texas, the girl hit the 3-0 intentional walk.
Oh yeah,
I was wondering this. So we know for a fact she had not issued an intentional walk this year. I seriously wonder, because I would assume in high school you just put them on. Like, that's the other thing. We have in college baseball, we just say put them on now. Like, you don't
in
do
Major
the,
League Baseball, we do that.
Yeah. Like, I was legitimately wondering, I wonder if that's the first time she's ever had to intentionally walk someone. And then the other thing that I was thinking about was this. When you're right-handed and you throw over the top, if you're going to overthrow, you're probably going to miss, like, either low and away, but, like, your entire momentum's going to first base. The ball's most likely going to miss wide. I did wonder if having to intentionally walk somebody from the right-hand side, like, doesn't it make sense if you're going underarm, the ball's going to tail in. So she's probably never done it that much, and I can see where she's like, I think that's far enough outside, but then it tails back, and credit to the girl. Like, she was just ready to go, and, like, she hammered it.
I'm happy that the controversial call didn't come back. That was on, what was that, Wednesday night?
That was Wednesday, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, the slide, just terrible call. And then who's the Mendoza? Jess Mendoza?
Jess, yeah. I think Beth's doing the play-by-play, and Jess
Mendoza went on with Van Pelt afterwards, and I thought she was great. And she was like, "That it has to get changed." She's like, "That's terrible." She's like, "The ball beat her there. It's not dangerous." Like, there are some letter of the law, just like, can we just use common sense sometimes? But I'm excited for that. I think it's going to be got a dual screen night, boys and girls. We got Oilers Panthers, which is fireworks, and then we've got the softball championship tonight.
All right, so the syndicate also made a hockey play. We determined we thought game one Edmonton would be on fire, and we're like, listen, I think if the Panthers are going to steal one of the two, I felt like it was going to be game two. So we waited to see the loss, and we took Panthers +180. So we've got a little value. But I was also
in the series?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was also in the back of my mind thinking, George, how bad is it that the Panthers really, like, lost a game they should have won?
For a team like the Panthers, not really that. I mean, the way that they did it, which, for what it's worth, like, that game, a Paul Maurice coached playoff team is now 31-1 after leading through two periods. So that truly was a game they shouldn't have lost. But at the same time, he's one of those coaches who is going to get in the locker room and really get those guys, have a fire lit under them for this one, I would think. Plus, I mean, it is just their style of play. I mean, they play a lot more physical. They really are a lot chippier than Edmonton.
I think what actually scares me, though, is I felt like they bothered Edmonton a lot more last year. Like, I felt like Edmonton this year, like, I'm not saying that if you're more of a finesse team and you know you're going to play the physical team, I don't care what the sport is, like, you're never, like, super pumped.
No.
But it felt like they were more comfortable this time watching it than they were last year.
I'd agree with that. I mean, it could also be there are some pretty, there's some major changes to the roster, especially for Edmonton. And the big thing, what got them in trouble last year was their defense. Like, their actual defensemen just were really, really shying away from the contact and the high forecheck that Florida likes to play. But this year, their defensemen seem a lot more ready to just take the chip, move the puck out of the zone, and just kind of deal with it.
Tim, I think the other reason why I got annoyed last night as well was, you know what I actually miss from NBC beyond just the song? I thought whether it was Costas, and I think it usually was Costas.
Yeah, he was doing studio.
I miss the intro videos, the setting up. Like, I thought NBC, like, what has happened to the all right, I'm not saying you got to do it every game, but it was game one of the NBA Finals. Like, I miss, like, the scene setter. Like, we kind of had, like, that, it was like a history, like, there was like a montage that lasted like 60 seconds kind of,
oh, yeah,
with, like, and then they brought us in. But, like, I miss, like, the like, if you go on YouTube, you can, like, always go and see, like, the finals. Like, those are always great.
You want to go watch the open to Florida State Notre Dame from 1993? It's like 3 minutes. They went to a city in Connecticut and filmed an open with actors.
CBS like the SEC on CBS, I think, used to be great at it.
Full on 90s, man.
I'm not really, I don't know if I've been quite as locked in, because I feel like the 2:30 CBS game now is kind of usually like an okay game. So like, I don't know if they've gotten away from it. I would presume they still do it, but like, I just, like, that's, shouldn't there be something about, like, I felt like last night, what was there other than just knowing this is the NBA Finals? Like, if you were watching a clip of it, like, what was there to indicate you were watching a championship game?
That's a good call. Was there patches?
I don't even remember, because that's the other thing. Do we even have the patch anymore?
I don't recall the patch. The first thing, funny enough, the first thing that comes to mind for me is the commercials. Like,
there
just the abundance of, like, yeah, this is the finals commercials where they, you know, grab clips from old finals and throw them in there.
By the way,
but, like, I was thinking about this. Is this an NBA problem or is this an ESPN problem? Because it's very obvious ESPN loves to promote ESPN. And so, like, if you think about, like, every pregame, it's the, you know, it's the seeing the ESPN personalities and whatnot. But I think, doesn't Philly, doesn't Indiana, I don't think they have a logo. I think there's, like, a QR code on their jerseys.
God.
What?
And, like, I was thinking about that. Have we gotten rid of the finals patch because it goes where the team ad is?
Oh, the sponsorship.
Yeah, but we still find ways to do it. Two quick updates. I love live sports. Joker, adios.
Oh, this was a three set match that doesn't tell the story. That thing was awesome.
Yeah, no. It was really good.
Fantastic.
And I'm watching, I just turned on, oh man. Love frat bros. We're on top of a house. We're drinking beers at Louisville. Louisville just hit a homer. Just some of these bombs in these games are just to feel that feeling and just be able to pimp it as hard as these dudes do. turn on ESPN.
Wait, we just did. So I
look at that. Look at that scene in Louisville.
Well, that's the other thing I was going to say when you're talking about Tennessee, Arkansas. The other thing that's going to be fabulous about that is, like, Arkansas cares about baseball, and, man, they pack that place.
I was texting with a buddy, and you guys might know this. I was told that, like, secondary tickets are, like, four figures for that game. Is that true?
Let me go to SeatGeek. That would not shock me.
That is crazy. But this is why.
In Fayetteville?
Yeah.
That wouldn't surprise me, even a little bit.
Now, do you have to buy,
does it have to be a weekend pass? That's the question.
So
the regionals were doing that.
I'm seeing right now all sessions you can get in for $400 on SeatGeek.
Okay. All right. So the whole, you can get in for all.
But that is the, like, that is the outfield. I think it's like standing room only. If you want to sit, now that's the other thing.
If you want a chair
over on SeatGeek. I think this is.
I want to sit with some frat bros on the top of a garage.
Might need a student ID for that.
This might actually be a tip of the cap. Shout out to the Hogs. On SeatGeek, there are six tickets for sale.
That's it?
That's it.
What?
That's insane. Like, shout out. Like, that's, you know what I mean? Like,
awesome.
when every fan base just gets so pissed, don't sell your tickets.
Yep.
Don't sell your tickets. To which I'm always like, I'm not going to tell people what to do with their money. But it's like, the fact that they've banded together, that's insane.
You know what the real secondary market there is, though? It's not SeatGeek or Ticketmaster or whatever.
Just walking around the tailgates.
Yeah, or like in like Facebook groups like that are made for like selling to other Arkansas fans.
Yeah, message boards. Back when I used to work at Rivals, that was we had like a ticket place. The only thing I'll say about my boys that were having a good time on the roof out in left field.
I got nothing wrong with my boys up there.
There's a few of those guys that I want to be like, y'all know it doesn't get better after 21, right? like this is when you're supposed to look your best.
Are you doing your Billy Madison?
Well, it's just like,
cherish it.
Like, well, it's just also, it's like, boys, like, the next 10 years is going to really suck if you look like this right now.
I'm looking. I'm diving into the bros right now. Man, that is a lot of pasty white up on that.
And
on
there's a lot of excess skin too.
Yeah, hit the gym, boys. It comes with your tuition.
Or just, you know, like get an Adderall prescription, like Ozempic. Like I don't know. Like you know, I mean, there's.
We don't mind a tarp either.
Yeah, that might be tarps on. Although,
what's the weather like? I don't know.
Could you make the argument it's a competitive advantage? Because if I'm Miami, I don't want to see that.
That's true.
Good point.
I will say, fair. And this is on a much lower level, obviously, my D3 school that I went to, our field was at a, you know, community park. We didn't have space on campus.
That checks out.
So we would drive there. We would have a keg in next to right field, and we'd be playing wiffle ball and then just randomly just start heckling the right fielder of the other team.
So,
but shirts were on.
We got in. Well, I called the baseball games in college, and I was like one of five people that were there. But we got in trouble. So our roommate played on the team, and like by his senior year, he was like the get the dirty rebounds, like the guy that's in there to set screens and get rebounds, and like he literally like wound up being a significant part of the team. But we would just sit front row and just yell at the coach, Tom Asbury, to put Gus in. And finally, Gus had to sit us down. And he's like, hey, listen, coach pulled me into the office today. And he said, like, if y'all don't shut up, he's never going to play me. And to which I looked at Gus. I go, first off, do you think that would stop me? And he's like, please. I go, that doesn't make it any better. And secondly, I've looked at everyone else on the team. He's going to have to play you, so we're going to at least call his bluff. But like literally, all we did was heckle our own coach. That's those were good times.
Pepperdine way.
That's the let's go ways. Like, listen, we don't actually care to see anyone else on the team other than him and my buddy Taylor Darby. But Taylor played no matter what, so that was always good. All right, so back to the actual hockey, because I know that's where we were. I keep wondering, though, is this just like, I keep thinking with McDavid, like, I know he didn't score the goal, but like, let's be real. The pass was more impressive than the goal.
I mean, I was talking with Gabe about this, like, just before. It was like Steph Curry level gravity. Everyone has to keep their eyes on McDavid 100% of the time.
And to me, it's like, sometimes when you have that guy that's chasing the first one, like, I just keep wondering, like, is he just not going to be denied?
I was talking to, so we have someone who works at Circa, played in the league. His name's Darren Banks. He was a former enforcer.
Is he related to Adam?
No. Different complexion.
Okay.
And I was talking to him last night, and he was like, I just watch him, and he just looks like he's on another level. Like, it almost felt like, this is his words, not mine, that he just kind of, I don't say coasted, but it was like, I know what is at the end of the road, and I'm upping it a level in the postseason. And he was like, I just feel like he's playing at another level right now.
And the other thing that I keep wondering is, like, psychologically, like, he is chasing something that completely changes. Like, I know a lot of great players don't, in real time, like, they don't think about what's my legacy. I know that's more of an us thing than it is a them thing.
He needs this.
But
he needs to get a title.
And I just keep wondering in the back of my mind if the Panthers, like, is there just, like, a little bit of complacency of, like, we've already got ours?
And is there also a sense of, are they tired, man? This is the third straight year they're in the Stanley Cup final. It's a lot of hockey.
It's a lot of hockey.
I will say, though, man, And George, you're much more astute on hockey than I am. If that's not Sergei Bobrovsky in net, like,
oh, they would have won.
We're not even going to overtime.
They would have won. Well,
oh, no, Bob was on his head.
And how many shots? I felt like also that was the other thing that was scaring me about taking the Panthers is they also had like six shots that hit the pole too. Like that game could have been a kill shot.
So that's kind of my other thought process with this. Like, obviously, I'm in the camp of right now McDavid is just ascended. He's on another plane. He's playing probably his best hockey we've ever seen him play right now, and that's pretty undeniable. But if Skinner doesn't end up holding up his end of the bargain, I mean, Florida has more than enough firepower to put five or six past just about any goalie in the league.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm still thinking.
And like you said, how many did we see pop the iron? And you're like, well, that very well could have hit the back of the net.
Yeah, I mean, I do also wonder, though, it's like how many times, like, as good as Bob was, how many games is he going to give up four?
Not that many.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about what our games of the weekend are, what we got on the cards. We'll talk about that next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company. 92.9.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
FM, ESPN. All right, Tim, before we get to games of the weekend or cards, whatever, however you want to look at it, I actually wanted to ask you about this. So we get the report today that the Knicks are considering speaking with Jason Kidd. Do we buy that, or does that not feel like a little like leaky, like, hey, we're making it seem like we're going to speak with him? I can see where Kidd wants out.
Tim McMahon on the Hoop Collective podcast brought this up.
Tim obviously lives in Dallas.
Yeah, very, very well connected with the Mavericks. And he wasn't, you know, McMahon is not one, and he was not saying Kidd is going to the Knicks. He said he wouldn't be surprised if Jason Kidd ended up at the Knicks. And I think there's a lot of connections there. My question would be this. I guess maybe he doesn't. Do we know where he was for the where he stood, I should say, with the Luka trade?
I'm reading body language. His body language suggested to me that they told him what they did, and he's like, "What?
You traded what now?
You did what?" Because
now,
and that's the thing. Like,
he does have the connection with AD, though, right? I mean, he and AD.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the other thing. Like, this is what I always found funny about it. Like, Kidd is clearly a defensive-minded coach, and the fact that like he would think it was insane to trade Luka probably tells you shouldn't trade Luka.
But also, so I guess if you're Jason Kidd, you're going to get paid probably better at the Knicks, I would imagine, right? But if you
you know New York has state income tax.
That is true. I've been told that Texas does not.
That is my new favorite thing going around in hockey. The fact that everyone is upset that they think the only reason the Florida teams win is because there's no state income tax.
Also, Dallas needs a new coach.
Well, they might need another one. In two sports.
Yeah, it's true. Which job is better? I think it's the Knicks because the Eastern Conference seems more gettable. But born on third base Jimmy Dolan there just fired Tom Thibodeau, who got them to the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in 25 years, essentially saying, you need to win a championship when you come here. So when you walk in, the clock is already ticking, isn't it?
Yeah, I would also say, at least by going after Kidd, like, to me, if you're going to get rid of Tibbs and you get Kidd, that kind of, like, that makes sense to me. But, like, if you get rid of Thibodeau and then you go and hire an unknown assistant, that's like, oh, boy. I think the answer is he's got a better chance of making the finals next year with the Knicks. But, like, I don't know, in the next 5 years, do I have more faith that the Knicks would win a title or that the Mavs might with Flag? Like, maybe you go Mavs, but it feels like the Mavs, like, you know, there's going to be an adjustment with playing basically a rookie, like, in a significant role. And, like, we don't know, how's Kyrie going to return after another injury? You know, how many games can he realistically get out of Davis? Like, I can just see where it's not even necessarily, like, it almost kind of feels like it's the coach that goes and kind of takes, like, a similar job just to be like, I'm just going to restart. Because I think...
Yeah, restart the clock.
Well, you know, Nico's next move is, like, we know he's not going to blame himself. Uh-huh. So the next move is going to be you. So you kind of get out and, like, before they get you, and you're going to get paid again. But I presume that means the Mavs are going to have to... Like, right? If you take another team's coach, don't you have to compensate him?
I believe it is trade compensation.
They were saying, because who did was it Doc Rivers who got traded from the Celtics to the Clippers?
Yes, although that one was a little bit different because the Celtics were kind of done with him.
Right. I think there is, once again, I think the Knicks have, like, a Wizards first-round pick that essentially is, like, a fake first-round pick. It's, like, top eight protected, and the most irrelevant team in sports is probably not going to be worthy of getting out of the top eight next year. But that could be a possible maybe trade ship. The Knicks don't have any picks, though, right? That's the only thing.
It's like, I don't...
They traded five of them for Mikal Bridges.
So, I don't know. Okay, quickly, before we take our last break... What, you can't say game two on Sunday night. What's the game you're most looking forward to, or what's the game that you've got already on the card?
Well, I have bet first half Oklahoma City. I will put that out there from a bet standpoint. I laid 7.5. It's pricey, but I think the Thunder come out and they're on fire. I think it's tonight, man. I think fire up the dual screens. I think softball championship winner take all. And game two of the Stanley Cup. I think tonight's a really good night of sports.
This is why we watch Winner Take All. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we tell your story next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Tim, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story. I have not noticed this, but you just sent me Ross Dellinger's latest breaking news, which is, says, in a somewhat stunning move, ESPN is finalizing an agreement to extend its sublicense package with TNT Sports to include the CFP semifinal round, sources tell Yahoo Sports. The deal would grant TNT Sports broadcasting rights to one CFP semifinal annually in 26, 27, and 28. But my tell your story is, did you realize there are, like, ESPN reply guys? Like, you know, like, anytime LeBron has anything on Twitter, there's always, like, bubble championship didn't count. We've got Beto Win 2.0. ESPN is hemorrhaging money because they pay huge DEI contracts rather than the talent that attracts viewers. So this is not stunning. It was inevitable. Turns out alienating 60 to 70% of their core audience wasn't a good idea. Like, that's just a good take. And then we have, like, ESPN circling the drain. Stay woke, go broke. How, like, again, there are other things that ESPN does where I can see, like, that's a logical reply, but it's like, how does that apply here?
It doesn't, and they're probably making a boatload of cash from a company that needs inventory after losing the NBA.
Did you see the symbolic move that the stockholders of Warner Brothers Discovery did? They voted to not give Zasloff
his executive bonus. They literally can't do it, but like they voted it. Like he's still gonna get it, but like that I did enjoy that. All right, man, let's enjoy the weekend of games.
Yes, sir.
That is Tim Murray. If you missed anything up on the podcast, shortly after the program ends. For George, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.